Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The New England Patriots are being held hostage right now.
I put the Titans and the Raiders right now as the front runners for Tom Brady.
It is what it is.
Dale Arnold.
Ahead to David Pastrnak on a breakaway. He scores!
Anytime I see Pastrnak open, give him the puck. He's one of the best players in the league, in the world. Just give him the puck, good thing happens.
Ready to drink tonight.
Rich Keefe.
The deal is already done.
Where's he going?
So I'm coming to New England.
This is Diggs being Diggs.
There's two solid moments, I guess.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Greg Robinson was caught with a lot of marijuana.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I don't know. I never found 157 pounds was all that much marijuana.
It's legal now, Dale. I really don't see what the problem is.
There's that whole possession with intent to distribute statute, which apparently causes some issues with federal authorities when you're crossing illegally in from Mexico with a trunk full of the ganj.
He can't stay off the weed.
Mm-hmm. When I go to one of these really good breweries, right, I don't go, hey, can I have 1 4-pack and then leave? No, you get case upon case upon case because you don't know
because
when you're going to be
back. Because you've
got an issue. Well, I might, but that's not the point of this conversation. And so you get whatever you can get, and then you leave. You're not bothering anybody. It's not like he had 157 pounds of meth. I'm not mad at him for that.
How much did Greg Robinson, the Cowboys guy, have?
Nate Newton, I think, had even more. I really do. And that was before, you know, that was when marijuana was still looked upon as like, oh, yeah. Oh, you can't
it's
have that.
It's a gateway
that.
Drug.
You can't have that.
What I don't, because I, you know, what I don't know about marijuana, we could fill an entire book with.
Okay.
Like, just from a physical perspective.
Yeah.
How much does that take up? How much area does 157 pounds of pot take up? Like, does it fill
decent
a trunk?
Amount. It's a lot of bricks, I would think. It's a good amount of bricks.
John, I'm looking at
why are you looking at me?
I don't know.
Why?
You're a young gun. You went to UMass. I can only imagine how high you still are from going to UMass.
Well, let's say I knew some people.
Yeah, some people. Yeah. Well, some of my roommates would get high.
I believe I've seen photos, though, where they pack it in real tight. They really vacuum out the bag. So it's like a brick that is could weigh like a couple pounds, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't really know much about it either. So on November 4th, 2001, this is going back to the Nate Newton arrest.
This was Nate.
He was with the Dallas Cowboys for so long. He was found to have 213 pounds of marijuana during a traffic stop.
Greg didn't even get the record.
5 weeks later, he was stopped again.
Oh, no.
And this time he had 175 pounds. So he didn't learn his lesson. I mean, he kind of did. He you know, got rid of about 30 pounds of it, but he was then sentenced to 30 months in federal prison for drug trafficking. And apparently since, Dale, he's gone straight, and he's turned his life around. He speaks to children involved in athletics. So, pretty good.
He doesn't include in those conversations with children, hey, have you ever tried this?
You want this? Want a little bit of
that's
this?
You want a cigarette?
You want a little cigarette? Marijuana cigarette?
Those are not part of the conversation.
No, he's turned his
life around. So, it's been an off season for the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk about very little about the Browns today, but this cracks me up. So, They get the Greg Robinson news yesterday.
Yeah.
They've already had their new Harvard-educated general manager meet with Odell Beckham Jr. about some of his offseason remarks and another guy. So yesterday, Greg Robinson, 157 pounds of pot in the trunk of his car at the border.
Yeah.
Today we find out, oh, by the way, Jarvis Landry's had hip surgery too.
So Beckham had hip surgery?
Yeah.
Landry had hip surgery?
Yeah.
Okay. And Wiggy was trying to tell us that if Tom Brady's not back with the Patriots, the Browns will be better than the Pats. Listen, I was all in on the Browns, but, you know, there's a whole saying there, fool me once, fool me twice.
Never again.
I'm not going there. And if anything, they might still end up trading Odell Beckham. I mean, we'll have to wait and see on that. But, yeah, that was a team that was, I don't know, you looked at all the talent, and I convinced myself they were going to be good. And that's why it was funny. That's when, you know, Charles Barkley the other day comparing the Philadelphia 76ers to the Browns, and that's kind of what he's talking about.
Baker Mayfield.
Look at all this talent. Yeah, I was high on Mayfield. Hey, shoot me. You know, you can't be right every single time.
NFL MVP.
I'm going with Baker Mayfield.
And there he was.
He had a decent run at it I mean,
no, he didn't. He had a terrible run.
Was it halftime of the first game where you realized it wasn't going to happen?
At all.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't. All right. There ends our Cleveland Browns conversation.
By the way, who in this building punched you in the eye?
I don't know. I got scratched in the eye, and it hurts like a son of a gun. But I'm going to be fine.
You got that puffy look going.
I know.
And you know, we were just talking about Greg Hill getting in a fight with somebody.
Yes.
Maybe it was with you.
Maybe, me and Greg got into a scrap.
Rolling
in the
dirt out there.
A little bit
there.
Of a tussle. I'll be fine. Can play Hurt Dale. It's no big deal.
Well, whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a bunch of stuff around the NFL, and I am the first one to admit I absolutely thought there was no chance they would have a new CBA done by the time free agency hit March 18th, the first day of the new business year. It now appears that that's at least a realistic possibility. Owners are gathering in New York today to kind of get the outline of what the new CBA would look like. Still has to be approved by the Players Association as well. But people who know a lot more about this than I do, like Adam Schefter, think there's a real chance this is going to get done.
And not only that, but it looks like there could be some significant changes coming in, right? This isn't, oh, we're going to move the kickoff up 5 yards, or we're going to put in something with replay, or we're going to do this. No, these are significant, like, league-altering decisions. I mean, they're talking about adding a playoff team per conference and adding another game in the regular season. Now, it sounds like the playoff change could happen as soon as this year.
Playoff would go into effect 2020. The 17th game would be 2021 at the earliest, supposedly.
So I hate both, and I'll tell you why. We can start with the playoff one.
Well, let's get Schefter first.
Okay, let's hear from Schefter. I'll tell you why I hate both.
Schefter talking about this, and then we'll let Keith poop all over it.
Yeah. The NFL and the NFL Players Association are on the verge of a transformational collective bargaining agreement that would mean more of a lot of things. It would mean more weeks of football during the regular season, 17 weeks. It would mean more drama at the end of the season as teams vie for those playoff spots. It would mean more playoff teams with the playoff system transformed. There would be 7 teams, more teams advancing to the postseason, and there would be 6 wild card games, which means 3 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, so more postseason football. And of course it would mean more money, because that's at the root of all this. The players' take would rise from 47% of the total revenues in the current deal to up to 48.5% if they go for the 17-game regular season schedule, and that's a shift of $5 billion into the players' pockets.
Which is why it's going to pass.
It will pass. Right. No, it definitely will pass, but I don't like it for a number of reasons. I mean, first of all, adding another playoff team is unnecessary, because usually the last team that gets in the playoffs barely really deserves it anyway. So last year, for example, did the 8-8 Pittsburgh Steelers need to make the playoffs? Was that a playoff team trotting out Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph and those guys?
I don't know. Any Duck Hodges game is a good day for me.
They would have been in the playoffs last year. The Pittsburgh Steelers. So everyone's like, oh, well, at least now all the 10-win teams get in. It's not really all about the 10-win teams. It's going to be more 9-win teams. Like last year, the LA Rams were 9-7. They did not deserve to make the playoffs, and now they would be in, the Steelers would be in, they'd both be playing on wild card weekend, and there's just more chances. You remember the game a few years ago when it was the Bills and the Jaguars? That was a playoff game, and it was like 6-3, and it was garbage. And you're like, well, these teams are playoff teams? You're like, yeah, because there's always a bad division, right? There's always a bad division, and that team gets in. And now if you go to the third wild card team, it's just not going to be very good. And
I will say this, though, the way football fans are addicted to the product. The idea of the first weekend of the playoffs giving you 3 games on Saturday and 3 games on Sunday,
yeah,
football fans are going, sign me up. I'm in.
No, that's true. I mean, the two doubleheaders on Saturday and Sunday is still the best back-to-back weekends in football to me. Like a third game. You know, they have 3 games on Thanksgiving. Are you able to watch every single second of that? I mean, the 2 games is fine with me. That's still plenty of football. Then you come back and have a doubleheader on
Sunday.
I
think that's going to be a real selling point for many football fans.
No,
you know,
it will.
3 playoff games on Saturday, 3 playoff games on Sunday. I'm in.
I think you're going to water it down. Because I think part of what makes the football great during the playoffs is it's supposed to be the best teams. These are supposed to be the best players and the guys that had the best seasons. And now you're just kind of opening it up a little bit more.
I'll tell you another big part of this, and I never realized this. Did you know that if you're a buy, if you get a bye, you didn't get paid for that in the past? Like,
Yes, game, you get paid for games.
Right.
You
get paid for games. Now, the bye team's going to get paid for that week.
No, I did. I heard that this year because I think we were trying to spin it positive as to, you know, the Patriots not getting the bye.
Right.
And
right.
It was either like Wiggy or Fourier or somebody was like, well, the players get an extra check. I'm like, yeah, I guess. I mean, that's the only check that they got this year. But, and I mean, I guess the one thing where I could be talked into it being a good idea is now there's only one bye. And so teams are going to be playing harder for that one bye.
Yes, absolutely.
What a major advantage that is. Whereas you could have the second best record in the conference and you get, yeah, you don't have home field throughout, but you get that pretty significant advantage. I mean, go back recent years or just since they put it in, the teams with the byes, the chances of them making it to the Super Bowl are so much higher than the teams that have to play wild card weekend. So now there's a little bit more of an advantage for those teams. But overall, there's really not. You can go back every, like, yeah, there's the year that, you know, the Patriots and Matt Castle went 11-5 and they missed the playoffs. That's kind of more the extreme. Isn't that one of the best records or tied for the best record ever to miss the playoffs? Like, you're not letting all these 11-10 win teams in. It's
no, the year the Patriots didn't get in, they lost the tiebreaker to Miami. They would have been in. Now, they would have had to go to Pittsburgh and play the number two Pittsburgh Steelers.
But also one of those things where I think in the history of like this format where six playoff teams per conference, I think only twice an 11-win team is missed. Right? So, I don't know. Do better in the regular season to get into the playoffs. Now you're just kind of opening the door, and I don't care for it. I think people, the playoff system now is pretty good.
We probably should, and I understand that not everybody has looked at what the proposal is here. You would now add a playoff team in each of the two conferences. You'd have seven in the AFC, seven in the NFC. Only one team would get a first round bye. Now, current system, you have two teams who don't play the first weekend of the playoffs. So you would have six teams in each conference who would play the first weekend, three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. Then the second week of the playoffs, you add the bye team back in. Now you're left with four teams in each conference, and you go from there.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I mean, you're really just adding a wild card team because all of the division winners are still going to go into the playoffs. They're all going to be at home. It's just now, if you were, in this case, the Kansas City Chiefs this year, were the two seed, they had a bye. Instead, they'd play wild card weekend at home against the Steelers, and then you just go from there.
And now, according to, there's some discrepancy here about the 17-game regular season, which is going to happen. I mean, I'm just telling you now, it's going to happen. Originally, reportedly, according to Mike Garofalo, the players wanted to delay the 17-game season until 2023. The owners have been pushing for 2021. Mike Silver says, if you read the tea leaves, what they're going to do is they're going to split it right down the middle. 17 games will begin in 2022.
So I also don't like this. I mean, maybe I just don't like change, but...
by the way, is true.
It is true. 100% is true. Oh, yeah. I don't like change. But 16 games seems like enough, doesn't it? I mean, you can determine who are the good teams, who are not the good teams, who deserve to go to the playoffs. So now you're adding a 17th game. You're taking away a bye. So this whole thing about player safety and everything. So now there are going to be teams that realistically play 20, 21 games in a season. And if you throw in preseason, 24 football games.
Yeah,
isn't that a bit much?
They are going to, and as we all know, they're going to reduce preseason from 4 to 3. There's even some thought that they could, at least in some circumstances, reduce it to 2.
Which they should, because I think they're going to have a really difficult time. So if you have 3 preseason games, what, you're going to have one of them at home, 2 on the road?
Right.
Or if you're a season ticket holder, now, hey, you get 2 at home, so now you're really screwed. You only really want the 1. You got to pay the same price for it. The 17-game season I also don't like for, maybe people don't care about this as much as I do, but like the whole thing with stats and like a good season, you know, like a 1,000-yard season is good. And you know, a 5,000-yard passing season is good. Fit, like the certain records that stand, well, now if everybody gets an extra game, it really kind of waters it down, both the individual season stats as well as the career stats. And I know they made this jump. I forget what year it was, but they used to play 14 games, right? For a long time, they played 14 games. Then they jumped it to 16, so that's even more significant. And over time, you kind of move on. You kind of forget about it. But I don't know. You don't need 17 games. And it's all about money. So like you said to start it, they're both going to get passed. They're both going to get approved. And as a football fan, you're just going to get used to it. Maybe you like it. Maybe you happen to like it. I don't, but I'll get used to it. It's not like I'm going to stop watching because of this.
One of the best analysts on ESPN right now is former Patriots linebacker Teddy Bruschi. And he tweeted about this an hour or so ago. And he put the way this is going to be viewed by players in the NFL. He says, I'm a player. I know how short my career can be. I'd like to maximize my financial gain. My vote is yes. On the other hand, he says, I've been in the league 10-plus years, financially set. My vote is no. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because the longtime veteran player who knows full well the toll that the game has taken on his body is going to say, no, I don't want to do another regular season game.
Right.
If you're just starting out, as Teddy said, you've got two totally different contrasting views. And he says it's going to be fascinating to see how this vote splits in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, but again, the money kind of factors into it a lot too, right? And now, whatever the average career is in the NFL, well, you can actually even shorten that, and guys are going to end up making more money.
And that's the idea. $5 billion, according to Adam Schefter, gets shifted to the player's side. Now, what I'm going to be curious to see, because we haven't seen all the details here, how do you break it down? Do you have 9 home games this year and 9 road games next year? I assume you rotate that sort of thing.
So that's another really good point. You know, what if you happen to be a really good home team and you get one less home game?
And you're competing against teams in your division who maybe they've got an extra home game this year.
They'll probably make everybody play in London.
That'd be great.
They'll be like, everybody's got a neutral site game, so you get 8 home, 8 road, 1 in London. That's probably what they're kind of hoping for, something like that, or like one game in Mexico City, one game in Toronto, one game in wherever. But yeah, that's the other problem with the odd schedules. So both the preseason games, and that's more just for fans having to pay money for games they don't want to watch. But in the regular season, that sort of turns into an unfair advantage. And not only that, Dale, but I think they've done a really good job in creating the schedules. Like, it's very easy, right? So the Patriots, for example, will play everybody in their division twice. They will play one other AFC division all the way through, one NFC division all the way through, and then depending on where you finish the year before, all the other first-place teams in the conference. How do you do it now? Where's that extra game come in? So,
see, we haven't seen any of the details of the extra game, the 17th game, home, road.
But right now, it's so easy. Like, you basically play the same schedule as everybody in your division, again, with the exception of, I think, 2 games. So the Pats and the Bills, who are going to be competing for the division, basically play the same game or same schedule. So what if, and the way the schedule is turned out, the Bills get an extra game against Cincinnati and the Patriots get an extra game against Kansas City, right? Like, it could, like, something extreme like that. Well, that's not very fair. And, oh, by the way, they get one less home game. Like, I think teams could potentially really pitch a fit. And if you miss out on a playoff game by one game and you're like, well, we had more games on the road this year, and we had to play a much tougher schedule, or at least that one extra game was significantly different than the team we were going up against. I think there's a bunch of different issues, though, with the odd number of games, because right now it is so easy. 4 teams per division, 16 games. I mean, it's very simple.
ESPN Stats and Info put a number on it. Under the current playoff format, which is since 2002, there have been 10-win teams who've missed the playoffs, including the Patriots in 08, who were 11-5. 9 of those 10 would have made the playoffs under the proposed format. The only team that would still not have made it is the 2010 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Under the new one, they still wouldn't have made it. The other 9 10 or more win teams who didn't make the playoffs would all be in.
Yeah, so like, there's really not this huge clamoring, at least for me, to get those teams in. Like, that's sort of tough luck. Again, we as Patriots fans experienced it with Matt Castle. Normally, 11 wins gets you in. But you know what? That team wasn't going to win the Super Bowl. So it's really, to me, not the end of the world. And I just look at this last year, you would have gotten an 8-8 team in there and a 9-7 team, which was wildly disappointing.
This past year, what would have happened in the AFC is the Baltimore Ravens would have the bye. Your 3 games, your 3 AFC playoff games the first weekend, the number 7 Steelers would have visited the number 2 Chiefs. The number 6 Titans would have visited the number 3 Patriots. The number 5 Bills would have traveled to the number 4 Texans.
Like, you don't need it, right? Like, what's wrong with the system now? Like, if the money was equal, and obviously it's not, would anybody really want this? I mean, I guess like for people like Scheim, it's an extra couple of games to bet on. So okay,
fantasy,
I guess there's some
yeah.
of that. But it's just it's going to be more often than not mediocre teams making the playoffs.
Yep,
like it's just more of them, and I don't need that. Like that's sort of one of the arguments in the NBA, for example, right? Is all right. Well, the first wake me up when the first round's over. Like you don't really get, unless it's the 4-5 matchup. You get pretty lopsided first round matchups, and then it's like the playoffs really start in round two. Whereas in football, you normally get great games right out of the chute, and now you're just kind of watering it down.
We, again, haven't seen all the details. So one of the things that was discussed weeks ago when they were talking about the possibility of adding a 17th game was requiring everybody, every player, to sit out a week. That's never going to happen.
No, that's dumb.
There is zero chance that they're going to tell, you know, the Patriots, hey, you got to sit Tom Brady out a game. You pick the one, but he's got to sit out. Yeah. I mean, that will never happen.
Do you like both of these changes?
I guess I'm resigned to them both. I'm like you. We both know this is going to happen.
No, it's going to happen, but do you like it or
no,
do you not like it?
I don't like the 17th game.
I hate it.
It complicates things. As I said, you know, 9 home games this year, 9 road games next year. Who's the extra game against?
And is this going to lead? And I know they're taking away a preseason game. So I haven't read through
which,
this
which, by the
yet.
Way, I got no issues with.
No, nobody does. But does week one of the NFL season now start in August? Or does the Super Bowl now get pushed to the middle of February? Like, which is it, right? Because if you're adding another game of importance,
yep.
does... Because usually the NFL starts, what is it, the first Thursday in September, sort of like the kickoff game, and that's sort of how the whole year gets going. Are they going to try to extend that a little bit further? And now we're talking about February 10th is the Super Bowl or something like that. Like, that's another part of it. Like, I like the NFL schedule and calendar the way that it is.
I'll be curious to see if part of this whole process, and we know so few details, does it include a second bye week? Which, again, was one of the things we had heard being bandied about earlier on.
Ugh, good point.
That we're going to add
Imagine
a second bye week.
For sit through two bye weeks.
I hate
for
the bye week, period. And I understand completely
why
the players need
it, Oh, it sucks.
I hate the bye week as a fan.
Oh, two bye weeks? Ugh.
Supposedly, that was one of the things they were talking about.
Yeah, they could throw that in there. And then at that point, you're definitely talking about a mid-February Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
You would have to be. Maybe even late February.
You can't do that, though. What am I thinking? You can't do that.
Why not?
Delay the start of the XFL season? What are you, nuts?
I think they'd be willing to push it a little bit.
You think?
They'd be willing to push it an extra week. Or what if they went head-to-head with the Super Bowl?
Oh, that'd be a good plan. You know, that's a good plan.
We're confident in ourselves.
I'm sure that football fans out there will have an opinion about whether, A, they want an extra regular season game and get rid of a preseason game, and B, if they like the idea of adding a playoff team in each conference and adding a playoff game the opening weekend of the playoffs. So we'll give you the opportunity as well at 617-779-7937. Today at 1:10, we'll be joined by Radio.com Sports NBA insider Brian Scalabrine with a look at the Boston Celtics and NBA as the league enters the back half of the season. Scal is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get your thoughts on these proposed changes in the NFL. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dale and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
So Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, did the math, did the research. And over the last 10 years, if they had this proposed system in place. The biggest winners would have been the Pittsburgh Steelers, who would have made the playoffs in 2019, 18, 13, and 12 as the seventh seed in the AFC, where they did not make it.
Don't reward mediocrity. That's my pitch.
Here's the worst part. The biggest losers under the new format would have been the Patriots. They are 0-2 in their past two wildcard games at home. Under the new system, the Patriots would have played five more wildcard home games in the past 10 years. 12, 13, 14, 15, and 18.
Yeah. I would say yes and no to that because obviously that's where they finished. But if you knew...
How would things have played out differently in the regular season?
If you're going into the year or like how you play week 17, you know, part of your... week 17, game 16 for so many years. You're thinking, all right, as long as we have a bye, you know, home field, we can figure it out. You know, we can go on the road and we can win a game. Or, you know, some crazier things have happened. That team loses and now we're still at home. But if there's only one bye, you probably play a lot of the games, especially late in the year, a little bit differently.
Now, they're counting on the fact that we Americans love our football.
We do. Vince McMahon
is also counting on that, and I'm not sure he's right.
Yeah.
I'm not
sure. We do love football.
We do. I'm not sure that we necessarily think more is better, but they're counting on it, and they think, and let's be honest, they don't care about the fact that you love football. They don't care whether you want more football. What they care about is how do we get more money out of the networks?
Yes. And more games, and more playoff games.
And the way we'll do that is we add a regular season game for everybody. And we add a playoff game, and that brings more money into the pot, which we will then put some of that money into the players' pot.
So, famously, Mark Cuban, years ago, when talking about the NFL, said, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah.
Is this sort of going in that direction? Like, by no means is this going to turn people off of football. And I think for a few years, it might be great. But, I don't know, a 17-game regular season? Because... the whole thing about jerking around the preseason games, that doesn't mean anything, right? You have some of the diehard fans that'll watch. You have people that might go to the games just because it's a little bit cheaper of an experience, or you can get the tickets at the very least for face value, whereas you normally can't. I mean, it's not cheap, but it's a little bit different. But for most people, the NFL season starts beginning of September, and then it goes to the beginning of February.
Yep.
That's sort of the football season. And now if you start to add games to that, and I really think if you start to get into the playoffs, again, like we went through all the quarterbacks that made the playoffs a year ago, and Josh Allen was kind of the one that kind of stuck out, and you're like, doesn't really belong with some of the other guys that made the playoffs. But now if you start adding a third wildcard team, there's going to be two, sometimes three guys that probably don't belong in the playoffs. So now when football is supposed to be at its best, I think you're going to have teams sort of more in the middle of the pack. I don't love that. And I don't know, 17 games seems like a placeholder to me for a few more years until the owners can get 18 games.
Oh, I promise it.
Right?
They'll try.
So, again,
we went from 14 to 16. Now we're going to go from 16 to 17. Do you think they'll say, okay, we're done. We're good now.
Like, I don't know what it would take for football to no longer be the most popular sport in America. Like, I don't know what it would take, and it certainly could not happen overnight. Like, there's nothing that could happen right away. I think the other part that might end up kind of jumping out or jumping off from this is if you start adding games, do they start to try to, you know, quote, make the game safer more? And now all of a sudden, there's no kickoffs.
Which is going to happen.
Don't you think? Like, all of a sudden they're going to start to tinker with it and be like, see, we got more games. And you're like, yeah, but the game doesn't look like it used to. I think that's when they're going to get into trouble.
All right, let's get your reaction at 617-779-7937. By the way, the owners gathered today in New York. They're going to get, you know, the Cliff Notes version of this. This is what we're proposing. This is what we're asking for. This is what we're going to give up. This sort of sounds like a done deal, though.
It really does.
This does not sound like, oh, we're going into serious negotiations now. No, I think that's all been done.
But also, again,
now, the Players Association has to sell it to its membership.
Right.
And as Teddy said, you're going to get a split there. The commissioner has to sell it to the owners, but I think that's already been done.
Yeah, no, I think, again, you tell the players, hey, you're going to get more money. They are going to do it. And it's just as simple as that, whereas I'm sure the league wanted more on both. I'm sure the league was saying, hey, let's expand the playoffs to another whole weekend. It's probably what they were hoping for. But they're like, all right, we got to just sort of chip away at it. And once we get, you know, 14 playoff teams, then the next thing you know, there's going to be 16. We're not that far away from 16 playoff teams and from 18 games in the regular season and everything else.
Jimbo's in New Hampshire. Hey, Jimbo, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So from a fan's perspective, I just kind of think this might be a great idea. I mean, I love sports on a Saturday. I don't know. What do you guys think about adding a game to, adding some Saturday games?
Regular season, they won't do that.
Not until college is done. Yeah, so, I mean, depending on what the schedule looks like, that's why you get them in the playoffs, because right. That's when, college football's done.
And they add some December. You get around Christmas time, add Saturday games because college football is in that break before the bowl season.
Right.
I don't think that they're going to expand the NFL to Saturday play on a regular basis.
No, and there's a reason why they did Thursday, too, right? Because there's sort of like an unwritten thing with Friday for high school Saturday
football.
For college. So then that's why they jumped to Thursday. So they have Sunday, Thursday, Monday.
And we are talking about the feeder systems for the NFL.
Right,
so let's not do anything to cripple the feeder systems. Let's keep them viable. And now, look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're... maybe in Mark Cuban land, Roger Goodell wants an NFL game every night of the week. I hated when they added Thursday football.
Yeah.
And by the way, for the most part, it's been awful football.
I hate it. And even when you get a good game, I'm like, all right, we'll put it on Sunday. Because every once in a while you'll have a bad slate of games on Sundays, or when you have a bunch of bye teams on Sunday, now there's even less games because you're taking away and you're putting two teams on Thursday. Like, I don't like any. Oh, no, by the way, a 17-game regular season, doesn't that mean two teams are going to have to play two Thursday games now?
Probably.
Right?
I'll add a cynical note because that's my job.
Good.
Are they going to make that extra, that 17th game? Does every team have to go play a game in London?
I already said that.
Yeah. So you play your eight at home. You play your eight on the road.
I don't know if it'll
And you play one in London.
I think it could be just neutral site. You could sort of do
London,
that, right?
Mexico.
Yeah, so eight and eight, and then that way it's fair, and now everybody, like, hey, Bill Belichick, you're going back to Mexico City, or you're going back
he'll
to
love
London.
That idea.
Or, I mean, where else can they put a game? They'll probably put a game in Germany, China, Australia, wherever.
If Goodell has his way, they're going to go everywhere.
That might be it.
Steve's in Springfield. Hey, Steve.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
In my opinion, I really don't like this way of doing it. For all the reasons you guys mentioned, I don't like the odd number of games, and I don't like the addition of the playoff team, the mediocre playoff team. I think if you're going to do the expansion, I know you guys touched on this briefly, I think you should just expand right away to the 18 games with the two preseason games. That way, at least everything's even. You still have the same home and away. You play each division opponent twice and everyone else in the conference once, which would lead to the 18 games.
Steve, my guess is that the NFL thinks there is no chance of selling the Players Association on 18. We might get them on, to go with 17.
Yeah, this is where you start.
I think
5 years from now, 18 games will be on the table, right? Because, hey, 17 is going pretty well, right, guys? You like the money? You like the new contracts that you have? Let's try for 18, because there is something a bit lopsided about the 17 games. Again, when you have eight total divisions, each with four teams, it makes it so simple. Like, you know what the schedule is going to be, and they're obviously trying to get a bit of parity. That's why the Patriots are going to have to face the top teams in the AFC if they win the division, right? Whereas the teams at the bottom get to face the other bottom teams, and you're hoping for a little bit of an uptick. But overall, the teams in your division play a very similar schedule, and then there's no real complaining whether you win or lose it.
Our Twitter friend Dice pointed out that this system that we're talking about here, every 12 years or so, you'll get some Cinderella story. Some team that gets in as the seventh seed in the AFC will go on to win the Super Bowl. It'll happen. At some point, it'll happen. But
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's not going to happen very often.
No, I really don't think that it will. And maybe you get that, like you said, once out of 20 years. The other 18 or 19, it's going to be a team that doesn't belong.
And gets that's how I waxed
and gets,
in the
gets
first
smoked.
Game.
Or even if it's just like an ugly game. Like, it's again, the 8-8 Steelers are the example this year. They would have been in.
Zach's in Rhode Island. Hey, Zach.
Hey, that was exactly my point. I think people love upsets. People love more competitive games. One example I was thinking of in college basketball, they added those play-in games. What was that, 4 or 5 years ago now? And almost every year, one of those teams wins a play-in game and goes on to almost make the Sweet 16. Using the Steelers as an example, I felt that late in the year, the Steelers were starting to come on and play pretty well. They had a strong defense. That team could have given the Patriots a game, probably beat them. So I'm going to hang up, let you guys talk about that. Thanks.
Yeah, of course, they would have played the Chiefs, and they would have gotten smoked. Right?
I mean,
and by the way, I think they lost their last three games, so I don't know how strong they were coming on.
And I'd also disagree with him. Those teams that make the play-in game in the NCAA basketball tournament, they win a play-in game, and then they go nowhere else.
Well, so there's two different types of play-in games. And so there's the 16-seed play-in games, which those teams always lose. But then there's the 11-seed play-in games, where the committee just couldn't decide for all these years. So they have two teams that are real teams. And guess what? You win one of those, you're the 11 seed, now you play a 6. It's not a huge upset. And we've seen teams go from there and win games, sure. But I don't know. I just think that Pittsburgh's a good example. So they play this year. They would have gone on the road to Kansas City wildcard weekend. What are we doing? It's another game. You can bet on it, I guess. But that wouldn't have been competitive.
Now let's bring it a little closer to home here. And the whole idea of if they in fact get this done by March 18th, which a lot of people, including Adam Schefter, thinks there's a real chance. How does it affect the salary cap for the upcoming year? How does that affect the Patriots' ability to re-sign Tom Brady? How does it affect all of those things if they get it done for this league year?
Yeah, I mean, the more money you have to spend,
I would assume the salary cap's got to go up. They're not getting $5 billion in a year.
No.
Over the course of the CBA, they're shifting $5 billion to the players' pockets, but I don't know what that means for the salary cap immediately for the 2020 league business year.
Right, and because the 17-game regular season isn't going to kick into place for another couple of years, assuming that it does. So you just have that extra play-in or extra playoff game. So I don't know how much it would drastically affect it. I mean, bottom line, I don't think Tom Brady's here or gone based on any kind of extra money. Yeah.
The difference could be, supposedly, if they get it done by the end of the business year, it would affect being able to spread the bonus money out over a greater period of time.
Okay.
So that could affect the ability to re-sign Brady here if they, in fact, get that part done.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk some NBA hoops with Brian Scalabrine just after 1 o'clock today. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Do you like the idea of adding another playoff game, another playoff team in each conference?
I like the idea of that. You'll see teams incentivized, especially to get that number one seed.
Yep.
Instead of having the opportunity to sit players down and try to figure out, you know, who can we rest up until this point.
I'll be curious to see, and I think Teddy Bruschi hit the nail on the head. Now, former players are going to say, fine, you know, go ahead, play the extra game. They don't care. But as Teddy said, you know, you're just sort of making your way in the league. You want to get as much money as you can get. You want to set yourself up. You're going to say, yeah, I'll play another game, add some more money to my paycheck.
Right.
You've been in the league for 10 years. You're kind of established financially. You know the toll that the game has taken on your body. Are you going to be as quick to say, yeah, sure, go ahead?
Yeah,
now,
but
in Tom Brady's case, apparently, based on these numbers, he's never going to be in the situation to be playing this extra game.
No, he may not be. And I think if you're one of the older players, I could see why that might be your mentality. But wouldn't you also say, well, why would I stand in the way of the younger guys making more money? I'm going to be done playing.
Right.
Right? Like, I'm almost done. So my career really isn't, most of it anyway, won't be with these rules in place, won't be with the extra game, won't be with... You know, yeah, sure, some of the extra money involved. So if you know that most of the young guys who have a long future in the league want to do it this way, why on earth would you block that? You know, it's sort of like the guy that's leaving the team being able to, like, vote for captain. It's like, well, you're not even going to really be a part of this. So, like, why do you get much to say?
Let's go to Mark in Rhode Island. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Good.
One of the things I haven't heard talked about is how they're going to decide who gets the 8 home games or the 9 home games, and how are they going to rotate that? Because with 17-game schedule, it's going to be lopsided.
It is. There's an unbalance there, and it's a good point.
I mean, my guess is in the division, like in the AFC East, everybody's going to have 9 home games this year, or everybody's going to have 9 road games this year, so that... You know, you're not competing for a division title against a team who has an extra home game than you have.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I mean, we sort of theorize maybe there's a chance they find a way to do a neutral site game for every team. But, yeah, the 9 and 8 thing isn't fair because you're also, even if you're competing against the division, well, you have those 3 wild card spots now.
Right.
So, say the Patriots are competing for a wild card spot against the Titans, and the Patriots have 9 home games, the Titans have 8. Well, that's not fair. And maybe the NFL says, well, it's only one game, and over time it'll balance out. Well, for those individual seasons, it's not fair. I did a quick glance at the standings last year, and 20 of the 32 teams either had the same record or a better record at home, which is not surprising. I'm sure some years it's a little bit better. Maybe a couple of years it's a little bit worse, but it's very clearly a bit of an advantage. Some teams have more so, right? Like Seattle, Kansas City, like those teams seem to really have a home field advantage. But yeah, how do they figure that out? Because you look at the four major sports. Do any of them play an odd number of games? No, they all play. Baseball plays a million games, but it's an even number. Basketball and hockey play an even number.
It seems so strange because, as we said, there are so many imbalances that you're going to add a 17th game. Now, I don't think they were going to talk the players into an 18th, so they were kind of splitting the difference here, but going from 16 to 17 seems strange.
And I also just think that if you are a team that plays Wild Card Weekend, which now will be 12 of the 14 playoff teams, and you make it to the Super Bowl, that's a 21-game season.
Yeah.
Not counting preseason.
Right.
Which again, you could say, well, you know, those guys aren't really going to play much. But there's a chance that, you know, Tom Brady or, you know, whether it's like Lamar Jackson, a young guy, or Drew Brees, an old guy, 21 football games, like, that seems like a lot.
For the new CBA to go into effect, 24 of the 32 owners would have to approve it, and they're meeting tomorrow.
I think all 32 will approve it.
Probably. On the player side, first it would have to be ratified by two-thirds of the 32 player reps, and then the majority of all the players. First, the player reps, you'd have to get two-thirds to say, okay, we're in. And then you'd have to get 51% of the players who would approve it.
And I bet you would.
I bet you would, too.
Just because, hey, oh,
they're going to say, wait a minute, money? $5 billion?
Right. And like, oh, well, you know, it just makes the season a little bit longer. They're going to convince themselves, well, there's one less week of the preseason, which, again, for some players matters more than for other players. And I don't know. It's hard to turn down more money. I get that from the players' side of it. And again, as a fan, Wild Card Weekend, all right, now I'm watching six games instead of four. I'm still going to do it. I don't know. I kind of like the system. I thought they had it pretty well mapped out.
Dylan's in Newport. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Good.
I just think our system's already broken. I mean, look at teams like divisions like the NFC East, where they're all horrible. You know how teams like the AFC East with the Patriots, you know, the last decade, basically just running the AFC. You know, you've got teams that have great schedules, I mean, great records that don't make it in because the Patriots clinch the division.
Not really. I mean, you really don't have teams with great records not getting in.
Well, not clinching divisions or getting in, but not being a wild card. We got to do something about the way we currently set them up, whether we do it like basketball does their playoffs or you just take the best record, something.
Well, see, I have no problem with it. I think that you know, differences in divisions is going to be cyclical. You know,
very
this division is going to be great for, you know, for a couple of years, and then it's going to be down. And I mean, that stuff's going to change.
Yeah, no, that definitely is. I don't have a problem with it. And we talked about it last year, you know, because you saw a 9-7 Eagles team win their division. Well, so be it.
Yeah.
Like that was that year. And they have to play Wild Card Weekend, and they have to play the best Wild Card team, right? So it's not this huge advantage, but there should be some sort of incentive to win the division. So I actually have no problem with it. And again, there are very, very few teams, the 08 Patriots are one of them, where you say, man, 11 wins, they should have been in. Most years, it's not the case. And even with the one bad division, all right, you're still two. So they're not going to get a wild card team. So the other two wild card teams come out of better divisions, like a couple of 10-6 teams. That's fine.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Owners, absolutely, positively, Rich is right, will ratify this. Player reps, they'll get the two-thirds to at least put it to a vote by the players. That's going to be the question. What concessions can the players wring from the owners in exchange for their vote to ratify this thing and add the 17th game? And I'll be very curious to see what those concessions are. Brian Scalabrine will talk NBA with us just after 1 o'clock. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.